بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على من بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين. اللهم لك الحمد كله، اللهم لك الحمد إذا رضيت، ولك الحمد بعد الرضا، ولك الحمد حتى ترضى. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. ثم أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and for His mercy. We seek refuge with Allah from the evils of ourselves and from the evils of our wrong actions. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide. And whomsoever is left to go astray, none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide them. I bear witness and testify that there is no deity, no God worthy of any type of worship except Allah. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his servant, and final messenger. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have been entrusted tonight to share with you some information on how to achieve happiness in the family. To begin with, know, my dear respected brothers and sisters, that the home is a blessing. And in Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. And Allah has made for you from your homes a place of rest. So each and every one of us has the right to be living in a home filled with tranquility, filled with love, filled with mercy, compassion, rest, and happiness. Every person on the face of this earth strives for happiness. Perhaps people differ with regards to their beliefs or their origins, their food and their drink, or their aims and goals in life. One thing they all agree upon, and that is the pursuit of happiness, of sa'adah. Believers and disbelievers, the righteous and the evildoers, every single one of them is after happiness. Everyone is after happiness. However, the masses of people take the wrong path. As a result, we have high rates of depression, anxiety, and suicide. Today, suicide is amongst the three leading causes of death. And according to the World Health Organization, 873,000 people die by suicide every year. It is estimated that in the year 2000, 1 million people would have died from suicide. What this translates to is 16 people from every 100,000 die from or through self-inflicted harm. One death every 40 seconds. In order to achieve happiness in the home, each member of the home needs to be planting the seeds which cultivate happiness. And the more stable and happy you are in your home, the more productive and energetic you will be, not only in your home, but also outside the home, in the workplace, at the school, at the university, at the college. You will also have the strength to be a better da'i, to be a better and stronger caller to Islam. Do you think, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, that the small number of companions succeeded in spreading the message of Islam throughout so many parts of the world, and they excelled in so many domains, the earlier Muslims, whilst their homes were filled with problems? Do you think that that is the case? La wallah. An unhappy family creates disaffection, pain and frustration, and such give rise to crushed personalities full of confusion. Distortion in the family leads to distorted personalities. Young people raised in unhappy families can turn out to be dangerous and a threat to society and even humanity. Dysfunctional families rob children of their happiness. Families are the building blocks of a society, and the more functional a family is, the better and stronger our communities and societies end up. Tonight, I would like to share with you a recipe. A recipe consisting of 33 ingredients that lead to happiness within the family. Because the family is a big cake, and we want to make sure that it is sweet. Number one, the first ingredient begins in choosing the right spouse. Spouse selection. Islam has set the criteria when it comes to choosing a wife or when it comes to choosing a husband. When it comes to choosing a wife, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Tunkahul mar'atu li arba," that a woman is married for four qualities: limaliha, for her property, for her wealth; walihasabiha, for her status and rank; walijamaliha, for her beauty; walidiniha, or for her religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concluded by saying, "Fadhfar bidhati ad-din taribat yadak." Go for the one with the religion and you will prosper. It is related that a man once came to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu during his khilafah, and he is complaining about the ill conduct of his son. And so Umar summoned the boy, and he spoke to him about this disobedience towards his father and that how he has neglected the rights of his father. So the boy said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, hasn't a child got rights over his father?" And Umar said, "Certainly. What are they, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen?" So Umar said that he should choose his mother, should choose the right mother. Number two, that she give him a good name. And number three, that she teaches him the book of Allah, the Quran. And so the boy said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, my father did nothing of this. My mother, she was a Magian, she's a fire worshipper. He gave me the name of Julalan, meaning a dung beetle. Gave him a very bad name. He did not teach me a single letter of the Quran." So Umar, he turned to the father and he said, "You have come to me to complain about the disobedience of your son?" He said, "You have failed in your duty to him before he has failed in his duty to you. You have done wrong to him before he has wronged you." As for choosing a husband, in the hadith found in Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Idha atakum man tardawna deenahu wa khuluqahu fazawwijuh." إلا تفعلوا تكن فتنة في الأرض وفساد عريض. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one comes to you seeking marriage and you are pleased with two things, you are pleased with his deen and you are pleased with his akhlaq, with his manners, because unfortunately there are some brothers who have deen but no akhlaq. And so if you are pleased with these two things, then give him in marriage. And if you don't do so, a great destruction will become rampant on the earth. The next thing is, once you get married, learn about your rights and your duties as a husband, as a wife. And we'll leave this part for another time. If married to a non-practicing spouse, husband or wife, we need to use every strategy and every technique to reform our partner, especially empowering the woman, especially giving resources to the woman, because as the famous Arab wisdom says, al-ummu madrasatan idha a'dattaha a'dattu sha'ban tayyib al-a'raq, that the mother, she's an institute, she's a school, she's a college. And if you reform her, then you are reforming a people with strong roots, referring to the children, because the children will be spending most of the time with their mother. Advise your partner to perform salat and to be patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا, and command your family to pray and be extra patient. Wastabir, be extra patient. So we need to be praying with our families, praying with your wife. You know, in the West they say, the family that eats together stays together. I like to say that the family that prays together stays together. And I'm sure some of you brothers have in your hearts right now the question, what are you saying, brother? That the brother that we pray in our homes and not in the masjid? That's not what I'm saying. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he used to pray with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he would go and lead his people in the prayer, having prayed the evening prayer. So to him, the second prayer was a nafila, a supererogatory prayer. So what we can do is, yes, brother, go and pray in the masjid and come back and pray with your wife. Pray. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as per the hadith found in Bukhari, the best salat is the prayer of a person in his home, except for the obligatory prayer. And in the hadith found in Abu Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah have mercy upon the man who gets up during the night, who prays and he wakes up his wife. If she refuses, he sprinkles water on her face. And he goes on and says, and may Allah have mercy upon the woman who gets up during the night and prays and wakes up her husband. And if he refuses, she doesn't hose him down. If he refuses, he sprinkles the water on her face, or his face. Remind them, my dear brothers and sisters, remind your spouse to read the book of Allah, Al-Quran, especially Surah Al-Baqarah. For in the hadith, which is found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not transform your homes into graveyards, into maqabir. Indeed, the shaitan flees from the house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. And in the hadith found in Musnad Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informs that Allah sealed Surah Al-Baqarah with two verses. If recited in a house, shaitan does not come near to it. From amongst the things that we can do to reform our partners is to purchase an Islamic library for the house, whereby we have a book from every science in our libraries. Attend the lectures together and the courses. Encourage your spouse to give sadaqah. Visit people who are committed to their religion and keep away from the people who do not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every time that you learn something new, go and share it with your wife. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left in the morning when he was at his wife Juwayriyah. He left in the morning to go, and he came back later on in the morning. And he left her in her musalla, in her place of prayer. So when he came back, he found her in that same position. And he said to her, I am going to teach you four phrases that if you had said them, they will be better than everything that you have said since I have left. And what were those four phrases that he told her? Anyone know? No, not that one. Another one. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa rida nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. Is that four or five phrases? Four? Five? Four. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't hold back. He had some beneficial information. He didn't hold it back from his family. Straight away, he gave them to her. The next ingredient is taqwa Allah. And this is the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the first and the last of generation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. That we have instructed those who were given the scripture before you and yourselves to fear Allah. Now taqwa Allah is a very comprehensive word which entails a great meaning. And there have been many excellent, outstanding definitions of this word. One definition that I personally like is one whereby a man came to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda. And he asked him about the word taqwa and what does it mean? And so Abu Huraira's response was, have you ever taken a thorny path? Have you ever taken a road full of thorns? So the man's response was, yes, I have. He said, what did you do on this path? He said, every time I was near the thorns, I would keep away from them as much as possible. He said, this is taqwa Allah. So keeping away from the things that are likely to prick you, that are likely to harm you and make you fall into sin and transgression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. So taqwa Allah relieves a person from distress and anxiety. It helps you through difficult times. And your wealth can increase through taqwa Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. And whoever fears Allah, he will make things easy for him. The third ingredient is enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. That you are the best of generation or the best of people produced for mankind. You enjoin what is good, you forbid what is wrong, and you believe in Allah. This is the formula, this is the equation that makes us the best of people. And enjoining what is good and forbidding what is wrong should begin in the family home. The fourth ingredient is that each family member, in particular the father, needs to protect the others from the vices that bring about the wrath of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Tahrim, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. O you who believe. And it's very important that when we hear this, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to give it our utmost attention, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, that when you hear يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, there is either a command to do something which is beneficial or to keep away from something which is harmful for you. O you who believe, protect yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is people and rock. Today, one of the most evil things that you can protect yourself and your family from is that germ which is destroying our deen and destroying our morals. I'm referring to the television. We need to avoid sitting in front of that screen that diverts our attention from the remembrance of Allah. In front of a screen that transports people from the realm of reality into the realm of illusion. A screen that leads people to go looking for a fantasy world. And so what's the result? We have relation breakups because a person, he sees women with all these beautiful qualities on the television, and then he goes and compares to his wife, and so he looks for the things that he sees on television, which is all illusionary. He looks to see it in his wife, and he doesn't see it, and therefore the marriage breakup begins. And so Islam strongly discourages fiction and encourages us to live in reality. The prime purpose of our existence is to gain the pleasure of Allah. And in order to gain the pleasure of Allah, we need to fix our gaze on the akhirah, on the hereafter, and not on the TV screen. Television is a powerful agent of immorality, fostering various types of violence, aggression, robbery, murder, blasphemous, and obscene language crimes, which even our innocent young children are readily learning from the television. Today, the television is the first parent of many of our children. It has more influence on them than parents, than teachers, sheikhs, and that's a disgrace. Multitudes of Muslims have fallen into the trap of shaitan and his agents who want to digress you into deviation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in his book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says it. And Allah wants to accept your repentance. وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. But those who follow their passions, who follow their desires, want you to digress into a great deviation. Research has shown that when those addicted to television are deprived from television, they become increasingly nervous, that they become short-tempered, and that they become unhappy. And this was proven through a study that was done in 1975. In 1975, they got three socially varied families who agreed to switch the television off for 1 month. 1 month. The lowest income family of the four, they couldn't last the deprivation, as they call it, for 1 week. The others, they lasted for 4 weeks, but they said they hated every minute of it. And they said it felt as if they had lost a friend. That they were depressed. And they even thought that their work was suffering. SubhanAllah. That was in 1975. What about today with all these plasma screens and what you have in cable? And studies have shown that television causes lethargy in children. That it is responsible for the falling standards of literacy. That and millions of dollars are spent by advertisers to brainwash children. And that television makes viewers insensitive to violence and that it is detrimental to the physical and the mental health of children. And they are complaining about how children are overweight and they have a problem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ. Allah instructs you concerning your children. We miss this verse. And we also miss the hadith which is found in Bukhari, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. That all of you are shepherds and all of you are responsible for your herd. All of us are caretakers and all of us are responsible for those under our care. So, my dear brother and sister in Islam, we share in the responsibility and the accountability of what our children see, of what they hear, of what they eat, and their Islamic upbringing. We need to spend more time with our children. In a recent study, it was revealed that the average time that a parent spent quality time with their child was 20 minutes per night. 20 minutes per night. Think about it right now. A father or mother, how much time do you spend with your children? Our children are our investment for the hereafter. The more time that you dedicate and you spend teaching them about deen and about Islam, about the things that bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more they will benefit you and I when we are in the belly of the earth. On the day of judgment, a man will be elevated in Jannah to a higher status. And it will be, he will say, what has got me to this high level? I am not deserving of this. And it will be said to him that you had a righteous child who supplicated for you, and thus the high status. When the son of Adam dies, his actions cease to avail him except in the case of three things. Ongoing charity, sadaqatun jariyah, wa ilmun yuntafa bih, beneficial knowledge, and a righteous child who supplicates for his parents. I ask you by Allah, if your child was never exposed to the beautiful teachings of Islam, then how do you think he will benefit you after you have decomposed in the grave? Because as the saying goes, فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. The fifth ingredient is to make the home a place which you remember Allah. Dhikrullah. Why have I mentioned dhikrullah? Because it's the easiest action requiring two things. It requires you to move your lips and have a present heart. And if you can't move your lips, then you do it within your heart. And it is the one that many Muslims have neglected. And due to the innumerable blessings that it brings about, don't forget to have the morning meal that will give you strength. What I'm referring to is the adhkar of the sabah, the morning supplications. Ibn al-Qayyim says of Ibn Taymiyyah that the remembrance to the heart is like water to the fish. What will be the state of the fish if it becomes separated from the water? And Ibn al-Qayyim said, once he attended the Fajr prayer, Ibn al-Qayyim attended the Fajr prayer with Ibn Taymiyyah. And Ibn Taymiyyah sat and he remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until it was almost midday. He remembered Allah from the morning until almost midday. So Ibn Taymiyyah turns to Ibn al-Qayyim and he says to him, this is my early morning meal. My early morning meal. And if I do not take this breakfast, my strength will drop. A Muslim should remember Allah as soon as he enters his home. For in the hadith found in Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when a person enters his home and he mentions the name of Allah upon entry, and when he comes to eat, shaitan says, there's no stay for you and no meal for you here. And if he enters and does not mention the name of Allah when he enters, he says, you have a place to stay. And if he does not mention the name of Allah when he comes to eat, he says, you have a place to stay and to eat. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, if you are overcome with worries and debts, before you pick up the phone and make an appointment with the psychologist or the halal financier, remember this prophetic formula. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he once enters the mosque and he sees a man by the name of Abu Umama, and the hadith is found in Abu Dawood, and it's not time for prayer. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says to him, what are you doing here? And it's not time for prayer. He says, humumun wa duyunun lazamatni ya Rasulallah. Worry and debt. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, do you want me to teach you something that if you say it, your worries will go and you will overcome, you will be able to pay back your debt? And so the Prophet, he said yes. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught him some words. He taught him to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan wal-ajzi wal-kasal wal-jubni wal-bukhul wa min ghalabati al-dayni wa qahri al-rijal. And so these words talk about alleviating worry and debt. And one of the pious predecessors of the past, he said, I know when Allah remembers me. I know when Allah remembers me. So they said, how do you know that when Allah remembers you? He says, when I remember him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. And if you're complaining about your low energy levels, then I advise you to try the following formula before you resort to Baraka or other vitamin B supplements. Fatima, radiallahu anha wa ardaha, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the wife of Ali radiallahu anhu, she complains to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the house chores and how she has blisters in her hands and how she wants a servant, someone to help her. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to her, do you not want me to direct you to that which is more beneficial than a servant? She says, yes, I'm messenger of Allah. Or he goes to her house and he sits down between her and Ali and he tells her to say, before going to sleep, 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar. That's the formula. And try it. No matter what's happening, if you want your energy levels to increase, my dear sister in Islam, dear mother in Islam, then I remind you to adhere to these words before going to sleep. And don't ever undermine the healing power of words of remembrance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a physician in India and he once asked a Muslim who performs ruqya. You know, ruqya is reading Quran and supplication, which you read upon a possessed person, or that you read in general to be better if you are ill. This is called ruqya. So the physician says to this Muslim, how is it that words can heal a person? So the Muslim, he looks to the physician and he calls him a dog. And so the physician goes red. Next, he calls him a pig. And he is filled with rage and anger. He wants to pounce on the Muslim. And so the Muslim says, all I did was say two words, and look what they did to you. Words, especially when they come from the heart, they can have an impact, especially when they are the words of the one who does not speak except through revelation. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. The sixth ingredient is to engage yourself in various acts of worship around the house. And there's a famous piece of wisdom which says, إِنَّمَا الطَّاقَةُ بِالطَّاعَةِ. That taqa, that ability, that strength comes about through the through obedience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. That whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer, verily to him we will give a good life. But we want you to be consistent. Consistency. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves those actions which are consistent even though they may be little. And what a beautiful sight it is to see the members of our family praying, fasting, reciting the Quran, and doing various acts of worship. Remember, the seventh ingredient is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the times of ease. And if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the times of ease, He will remember you during the times of hardship. And I want to remind you of the story of Sarah. Of Sarah, the wife of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam wa ala nabiyyina salam. She was taken out of her home by force under the order of the tyrant of Egypt at that time. She makes ablution and she stands and she supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect her from him, from the evil of this tyrant, in whichever way possible. And so when she is brought in front of this tyrant, she stands in front of him, and each time, she's a weak lady. However, she is strong when she holds onto the rope of Allah. This disbelieving tyrant, he froze every time he stretched out his hand to lay his hands on her. He did this three times. And then what did he say? He said, "You have come to me with nothing more than a shaitana, than a devil." He said, "Send her back." And he felt sorry for her. He said, "Not only send her back, send somebody back to serve her." And he sent with her Hajar. So not only did she return to Ibrahim, to her husband, safe from the tyranny of this disbeliever, but she also went back with a servant, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, then Allah will find a way of ease for him, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and gives him or provides for him from where he least expects it. And so Sarah, from where she least expects it, she comes back with a servant. The eighth ingredient is to expect the unexpected. Expect, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to be trialed with different forms of hardships and afflictions from time to time. And I remind you of the opening verse from Surah Al-Ankabut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do people think that they will be left alone just because they say we believe and that they're not going to be tested? And we indeed tested those who were before them. And Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are true. And will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars. The ninth ingredient is sabr, patience, which Allah mentions in over 90 places in the Quran. And in the hadith found in Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Amazing, amazing is the affair of a believer. for there is good in every affair of his, and this is not the case with anyone else except for the mu'min, except for the believer. If he is blessed with good, he thanks Allah, and so he is rewarded for it. And if a misfortune befalls him and he keeps patient, he will be rewarded for it. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, وَجَدْنَا أَلَذَّ عَيْشَنَا بِالصَّبْرِ. He said, we encountered the sweetest life through patience. Even more eloquent than these words of Ibn Umar are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As per the hadith found in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. And whoever maintains patience, Allah will make him patient. And he goes on and he says, وَمَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً خَيْرًا وَأَوْسَعَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. And that nobody is given a blessing more better and more comprehensive than patience. Listen to this next example of patience displayed by Ummu Sulaym, one of the female companions, as Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim relate to us. Her husband's name was Abu Talha, and one of his children was ill. During the absence of Abu Talha, the boy dies. So when he comes back, he inquires about his son. And Ummu Sulaym says to him, when she asks him how is he says to her, or she says to him, he is better than before. Then she places the evening meal for him. She fixes herself up and she has intimate relations with him. And after that, she breaks the news of the death of his son in a very novel manner, saying, arrange for the burial of the boy. Arrange for the burial of the boy. So Abu Talha got a little bit angry about that. And so he went to the Prophet ﷺ to inform him of what had happened. And so the Prophet ﷺ says to him, were you intimate last night? And so he says, yes. So the Prophet ﷺ, he makes dua for them and he says, oh Allah, bless their new baby for them. And thereafter, she gives birth to a boy. This boy, he gets married and has 9 sons, all of them who memorize the Quran. And there was once a pious woman of the past who was, she had an injury in her finger. And she went about, you know, praising Allah, and as if nothing had happened. And so they said to her, you know, you've just encountered a loss. Why are you so happy for? She said, the sweetness of its reward made me forget about the bitterness of its pain. The next ingredient that I remind you of is dua. If, my dear brother or sister in Islam, you are depressed in your family, or if you're ill, or you are going through a hard time, then raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him to bring you out of this hardship. Many people, unfortunately, as soon as they have a problem, they go and they spend money to get better, or they go to the doctor and they knock on every door just to make things better. And they forget to knock on the door of the one who is able to give and provide for all. Now, when we talk about supplication or dua, I'm referring to two types. Number one is a protective supplication, and number two, a curative supplication. An example of protection or a dua which provides a fortress or a shield is, for example, the hadith that we mentioned earlier, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan, wa'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal, wa'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhul, wa'udhu bika min ghalabati al-dayni wa qahri al-rijal. This hadith, you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every morning, oh Allah, I take refuge or I seek refuge in you from anxiety and sorrow. Anxiety and sorrow, from weakness and from laziness, from miserliness and cowardice, from the burden of debts and from being overpowered by people. Another example, for example, of protective dua, which you can protect yourself before the problem comes about, is before you say assalamu alaikum in your salat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us to seek refuge with Allah from four things: from the punishment of the hellfire, from the punishment of the grave, from the trials of life and death, and from the trials of Al-Masih al-Dajjal. So this is an example of protecting yourself before the problem comes about. Two examples of curative dua, how to cure yourself through dua, is, for example, if you're depressed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as per the hadith found in Musnad Ahmad, he tells us to say a dua, Allahumma inni abduka ibn abdika ibn amatik. It's a long hadith. Oh Allah, I your servant, the son of your servant. And then the hadith goes on until it says, اجعل القرآن ربيع صدري ونور اجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء وجلاء حزني أو همي وذهاب حزني أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that you make the Quran the life of my heart and the light of my breast and an exit of my sorrow and a relief of my anxiety. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever is afflicted with anxiety or sorrow, and he recites this dua, that Allah will release him from his grief and his sorrow and give him relief and ease. Also, for example, if misfortune befalls you, I remind you to say the dua, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khluf li khayran minha. O Allah, reward me due to my misfortune and give me better than it. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught this dua to the companions, that whenever you have a misfortune, you say this. And when the husband of the narrator of this hadith, Umm Salama, he died, she made this supplication. And she said to herself, who better can there be than Abu Salama? You know, who better can Allah give me better than Abu Salama, as she's saying the dua. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees for her to marry the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ingredient number 11 is, look at those who are less fortunate than you and not those who are more fortunate. So look at those who are in inferior positions, don't look at those who are in superior positions. And this is based on the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim, look at or compare yourself to those who are below you and not those who are above you, for this way you will not belittle Allah's bounty upon you. And subhanAllah, don't always look at what your neighbors got or what your relatives got or what your brothers got. Maybe if you had what they have, you'll be far away from the deen. So look at it from this way. Ingredient number 12 is, don't expect thanks when you do things. Don't expect thanks. Do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informs us that when a husband feeds his wife, when he puts a morsel of food in his wife's mouth, that, and he does it out of the pleasure of Allah, that he is rewarded for this. So you can turn your duty of actually providing into reward. The 13th ingredient is to possess the correct aqidah, the correct faith, especially when it comes to al-qada wal-qadr. In the hadith, which is found in Abu Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and you should know that whatever has missed you was not to befall you, and whatever has befallen you was not to miss you. So if we really understand this sixth pillar of faith, if we really understand al-iman bil-qada wal-qadr, then this will make things, the decrees of Allah, make things easier on us, and we become more submissive and accepting. Also, the 14th ingredient is perfect reliance on Allah. Always relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-yaqinu billah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. That if Allah touches you with harm, that none can remove it but He subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also we find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثُ أَصْلِحْ لِي شَأْنِي كُلَّهُ أَوْ كُلُّ وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he taught us to say, O ever living and self-sustaining, I call upon you through your mercy, rectify all of my affairs and do not leave me to depend on myself, not even for the blink of an eye. The 15th ingredient for having happiness in your home is to turn to Salat during the times of hardship. As per the hadith found in Abu Dawood, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ, that when he was troubled by something, كَانَ يَفِرُّ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, that he would flee to the Salat. The 16th ingredient for happiness in your family is to have hope and to have optimism when things don't go your way. Remember that not everything that you perceive as being bad is necessarily bad for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ, that perhaps you may dislike a thing and there is good in it for you, and perhaps you may like a thing and there is bad in it for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and perhaps you may dislike a thing, but there is an abundance of good in it for you. Also, Surah Al-Sharh in Juz Amma, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that indeed with every hardship comes ease, indeed with every hardship comes ease. Also, I remind you, in the hadith which is found in Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he advised Ibn Abbas, when he was a young boy, he said, wa'alam, and know, anna nasra ma'a sabr, that victory comes with patience. Wa anna al-farj ma'a al-karb, that relief comes after distress. Wa anna ma'a al-usri yusra, that with every hardship there is also ease. The 17th ingredient is to show compassion to the young ones, and to have respect to those who are old in the family, to our elders, and to maintain the ties of kinship. In the hadith found in Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَا يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا, that he is not one of us, the one who does not have compassion towards our young and respect and honor those our elders. And if you want your wealth to increase, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, and if you want an extended life, then listen to this hadith. And a hadith found in Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa yunsa lahu fi atharihi falyasil rahimah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever loves that he be granted more wealth and that his lease of life is be prolonged, then he should keep good relations with his relatives." And your relatives are your biological family and your extended family. The 18th ingredient towards having a happy family is kissing and touching members of your family. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to kiss his wives before he would go to the salat. And in the hadith found in Bukhari, a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, "Do you kiss children? Because we don't kiss them." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded by saying, "It's not in my hand that Allah has removed from your heart the rahmah, the mercy." Also, yani hugging the members of your family frequently. And I remind you that our skin, it has three types of memory. When it comes to touching, it has three types of memory when it comes to touching. There is a good touch, and that makes you feel that you are loved. And so we remember this. There's also a bad touch, and that makes you feel that you are being abused. And then there is no touch, and it makes you feel that you are being neglected. So touching is a technique, and we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam using this technique, which even today is taught in the secular world. The 19th ingredient is gentleness. Practice gentleness in your homes. And listen to this beautiful and eloquent hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay'in illa zana wa la yunza'u min shay'in illa shana." In the hadith found in Muslim, that when gentleness enters a thing, it adorns it, it beautifies it. And when gentleness is stripped away from a thing, it actually spoils it. The 20th ingredient for having happiness in your family is to control your anger. Controlling the anger. Now, you can do this by saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, when you are angry. Because shaitan, he throws a heat bead into your hearts, and this is why you get angry. If you are standing, sit down. If you're in having an argument in the house, if you're in one room, go to another room. And I want you to remember the virtue of taming, of curbing, of controlling your anger. And I want you to lend me your ears for this beautiful verse in which Allah also subhanahu wa ta'ala stipulates in this, those who repress their anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العاملين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and hasten to forgiveness from your Lord, and a garden as wide as the heavens and earth prepared for the righteous. Those who spend during ease and hardship, and who restrain anger, and who pardon the people, and Allah loves those who do good. And those who, when they commit an immorality or wrong themselves, remember Allah and seek forgiveness for their sins. And who can forgive sins except Allah? And who do not persist in what they have done while they know. Those, in other words, those who commit themselves to the previously mentioned things, their reward is forgiveness from their Lord and gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide eternally, and excellent is the reward of the righteous workers. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith found in Abu Dawood, he says, I guarantee a house in the surroundings of paradise for a person who avoids quarreling. For a person who avoids argumentation, even if he were in the right. And subhanAllah, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it's very unfortunate that to hear stories whereby a sister who was committed to her deen, wearing the hijab, a brother wearing the thobe, having a beard, and people tell me about the problems that go on, they can hear the hurling of abuse and profanities when they have problems. So they get into an argument, and they're known in the community for being up, and they swear words and profanities and all sorts. This is not the akhlaq of a Muslim. And so we need to tame and control our anger. Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions that there are three times that shaitan is likely to manifest himself in a person. The first time is during heedlessness. Secondly, when you follow your desires. And thirdly, when you become angry. And when that man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to advise him, he told him three times, not once, not twice, but three times, لا تغضب, do not become angry. The 21st ingredient is always in your family, display your best character, husnul khuluq. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, In the hadith found in Musnad Ahmad, he says, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُدْرِكُ بِحُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ دَرَجَةَ الصَّائِمِ وَالْقَائِمِ. That verily a person, through good character, he reaches the level of a person who always fasts and who always stands up in night prayers. And subhanallah, yani our family are the most deserving of our husn al-khuluq. Yani subhanallah, you find, you know, we go out, we go shopping, we go to work, we go to uni, we put on this, you know, we dress the best, we put on our best face. And then when we come back home, what do we give our families? We give them the leftovers. It's not the way it should be, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam. The 22nd ingredient is show and express your gratitude and your thanks towards the members of your family who correct your mistakes. When a person is about to be harmed by a scorpion or by a snake or by a spider or any other harm, and you are warned about it, don't you thank that person? Don't you say, Jazakallahu khairan, you saved my life. You have done me a great deal of good. Then if someone advises us concerning our shortcomings, concerning our deficiencies, then we need to thank them. We need to say, Jazakallahu khairan. We need to say, Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you for pointing out my faults that are within me. Because these faults, had they not been pointed out to you, they could have led to your destruction. They could have led to you, to your transgression. And from amongst the teachings of Islam, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً أَهْدَى إِلَيَّ عُيُوبِ. May Allah have mercy upon the one who gives to me as a gift. It's a gift, my shortcomings. The 23rd ingredient is to invite righteous people, students of knowledge and Islamic teachers into your home. Because when people of Iman and people of Taqwa, they enter your house, they fill your house with light. They fill it through their good speech. They may give you a verse from the Quran or a hadith or a word of wisdom through their manners and through their excellent character. And I'm sure many of you know the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the example of the likeness of a righteous and an evil friend is the likeness of the blacksmith and the perfumery. If you hang out with the perfume seller, what's going to happen? Either you're going to buy some perfume from him, or he's going to give you some perfume, or you're going to walk out smelling nice. But if you hang out with a blacksmith, what's going to happen? Either he's going to burn your clothes, or you're going to have some foul smell. The 24th ingredient. You need to aim at achieving a balanced life. And this is another problem that we have. We don't have a balanced life. There should be a time for your mind pursuing Islamic knowledge. There's got to be a time for your body. We need to be moderate in our food and drink. Body and clothes should be clean. Good appearance. And there should be a time for your soul performing various acts of worship. We need to have time for our children, teaching them the Quran, embedding into them the love of Allah, the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of the companions, and the love of the Muslims. We need to spend quality time with our spouses. We need to spend quality time with our wife. In the hadith found in Bukhari, when Salman, he visited his brother, Abu Darda, he came and he found Umm Darda, the wife of Abu Darda. She's very dressed in a very shabby way. And he says to her, what's wrong? You know, why are you dressed like this? He said, your brother Abu Darda, he has no liking for this dunya. All he cares about is just deen and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Salman gives these beautiful words to Abu Darda. He says, Inna li rabbika alayka haq, that verily your Lord has a right over you. Wa inna li nafsika alayka haq, and yourself, your body has a right over you. Wa inna li ahlika alayka haq, and your family, your wife and your children have a right over you. فَأَعْطِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقًّا. Then give everybody their right. So we need to strike that balance. And when Abu Darda, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, صَدَقَ Salman, that Salman has spoken the truth. The 25th ingredient is putting in a helping hand around the house. And this includes the males. And I'm sure by now I'm in the good books of the females. Many men, they think that it decreases from their status or their masculinity if they pitch in towards the house chores. You're no better than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He used to sew his clothes and he would mend his shoes. And in a hadith found in Bukhari, when Aisha was asked about the actions of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his home, she said he would be occupied with the working for his family. And when it was time for Salat, he would go to the Salat. And she said, as per the hadith found in Musnad Ahmad, he was a human like any other human. He would clean his clothes, milk his cattle, and serve himself. The 26th ingredient, and we're coming to an end inshallah. Share your problems that you have with other members of your family. Perhaps they can benefit you with some beneficial advice. Lend me your ears and your hearts for this next story. At-Tabari, he mentions, in the 6th year of Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has a dream when he was in Medina, that he is in Mecca performing the Umrah rites with the companions. And he sees their heads being shaved and their hair cut off. So he goes and tells his companions, informs his companions about his dream. And so the hearts of the companions, they leap with joy, because after 6 years in exile, they have been longing to part, to pilgrimage. They want to go to perform the Umrah. So 1,500 Muslims, including his wife, Ummu Salama, they head towards Mecca. And before they get to Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sends out a man to hunt around for the news, to see, do the people of Mecca know that they're coming? So he comes back and he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that a huge army has gathered and that the road was blocked. So they knew about the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And so a representative from Mecca meets up with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they draw up a treaty, the treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. And one of the terms of this treaty, which this is a long story, I'm just condensing it. One of the terms of this treaty is that the Muslims shall return this time next year. So that's it. Go back to where you came from. You can't come. They're in their ihram. You can't now fulfill your umrah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he orders the Muslims, he comes back to the companions, and he tells them, shave your heads, sacrifice your animals, and get out of the ihram. None of the 1,500 Muslim of the companions responded to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were angry. They want to enter Mecca. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, 3 times, he mentions to them, do it, and they don't do it. And so then what happens? He walks in. Who was the wife that he brought with him? Ummu Salama. He walks in on Ummu Salama. And he's very distressed. Imagine that, your companions, they're not listening to you. He walks in and she sees that he's depressed and he's not well. He says, she goes to him, what's wrong? What is the matter? He says to her, I ordered them 3 times to shave their heads and no one obeyed. So now he's sharing his problems with his wife. He's sharing his problems. Many of us, when we come home, we have our problems and we keep them in our head. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. Just leave me alone. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. What's wrong? And then they end up in a problem because he's not opening up to her. So Ummu Salama, she says, don't worry. Don't worry, Ya Rasulullah. All you got to do, she gives him advice now. You see, if we open up, now this is the advice coming. So she says, all you got to do, go outside, shave off your head and sacrifice your animal and see if they don't follow you. So he goes outside. He shaves off his head and he cuts the throat of his camel for the sacrifice. And then when the companions saw him do this, all of them did it. The 27th ingredient is, don't make decisions on your own. Get the family involved. For example, I think the house is getting a little bit too small for us. You know, what do you think about moving? What school should we put our children in? I'm thinking about taking up another job. I'm thinking about having another... No, not wife. No, don't share that one. Hold on. Yani, think aloud. Why is it that we've got these problems, we've got these ideas? Why aren't we thinking with our families? Number 28, we're nearly there. Avoid double standards in your personal and social life. Don't be what's known, don't play Jekyll and Hyde. You've heard of Jekyll and Hyde. Don't be one personality outside of the home and another personality inside the home. Number 29, choose a dwelling, a house, in a suburb that's going to help you with the remembrance of Allah. So a house close to the masjid, an Islamic center or an organization close to an Islamic school. And inquire about the neighbors. Inquire, find out. We have a saying in an Arab saying, "Is'al 'an al-jari qabla al-dar." You know, ask about the neighbor before the house. Because the worst thing is you want to put up with a bad neighbor. Also, number 30, encourage the members of your family to pursue Islamic knowledge. Support them morally and financially, and perhaps if you support them and show them your support, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your house as a result of this. And in the hadith found in Tirmidhi, there were two brothers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of them used to attend the Prophet's circle to acquire knowledge. And the other one used to go out and earn a living. So the one that was earning a living, he came and complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my brother, he seeks knowledge, and I'm the one that's bringing the bread home. I'm the one, the income, the breadwinner. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to him, perhaps you are being provided for because of your brother. So how do you know if we send our children to learn Sharia, to become mashayikh, to become students of knowledge, perhaps this will be a blessing for your home. Number 31, don't waste time. Be proactive and make the most out of your health and free time. Because health and free time, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith found in Bukhari, there are two blessings in which many people incur loss: health and free time. Number 32, spend quality time with your family and not just a routine life. So perhaps engage in a weekly outing. Go to a restaurant. Go for a drive with the family. Have a monthly picnic. Have a yearly holiday. Invest in a board game. Play Scrabble. Play Islamic trivia. Do something which is of quality, which cultivates this happiness and cultivates this love in the relationship. And finally, the 33rd ingredient is distance yourself from the actions that lead to hardship and adversities, from sinful actions that come between you and your family. Some of the early pious Muslims, they used to say, "Inni la'asi Allaha fa'ara athara dhalika fi khuluq imra'ati wa dabbati." He would say, "I would disobey Allah outside of the home, and only to find the effects of that sin and that transgression in the behavior of my wife or my vehicle." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. That whatever of misfortune befalls you, befalls your household, it's because of what your own hands have earned, and Allah pardons much. In conclusion, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to translate this beneficial advice into a reality immediately and not procrastinate. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, He says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُوعَظُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. If they had done what they were urged to do, then it would be better for them. And we need to be patient in bringing about change in our families. For a change in behavior, as recent studies have shown, it takes some 30 days for a change in behavior to become a habit. And once it becomes a habit, it takes some 6 months to become a lifestyle. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, these are the words I leave you with. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about happiness into our families, to bless our families, our spouses, our children, and to give us the strength to remember him, to thank him, and to do the various acts of worship. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Alhamdulillah, we are happy to announce the launch of the One Islam TV app. Watch hundreds of high-quality produced Islamic reminders, Quran learning videos, stories of the prophets, and so much more. Two new videos uploaded daily, inshallah. Watch videos on demand, or download videos and watch offline. No more annoying ads or pop-ups. 100% safe browsing for your peace of mind. Watch or listen to lectures and lessons while you work, rest, or drive with your device switched off. One Islam TV is 100% run and owned by Muslims, which means a small amount you pay for your subscription is a sadaqah jariyah, continuous charity for you. As we use the funds raised to continue producing more beneficial videos and reminders, inshallah. The One Islam TV app is now available on Apple devices, Apple TV, Android devices, Android TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku, so you can watch on most devices and smart TVs. Download now for a free 7-day trial. May Allah reward you for supporting our work.